And we're recording. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, thank you for the lovely song that we've just sung and for the way in which that's spoken to our hearts. We pray also that the words that we hear and hear in a moment or two will speak also to our hearts and help us as we investigate more about this community that we're longing to be deeper into, the community of your followers and the community of Bossier and the community of wherever we are, but the community that shares your good news just by living amongst people. Help us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at a real community. That's what we're looking at today. And if you've got a Bible there, then please have a look with me and we'll look at verses 11 to 22, not very many verses, but we'll be specifically looking at verse 19, and I'll read it from a different version in a moment. So here it says, One in Christ, is the title in my Bible, but it's the real community. So Ephesians 2, verses 11 to 22. Therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised, by those who call themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men, remember at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and followers and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. This purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in the one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For though through himself we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Lovely reading. I don't know about you, but sometimes when I see a bit that really thrills me, I can't help but smile. And the bit there was just that we have been brought close. We like to be close to people. And I've actually printed out for myself what it says in verse 19 from the Living Bible version. And it says this, You are members of God's own family, citizens of God's country, and you belong to the household with every other Christians. With every other Christian. I don't know how many times you've heard it said, we want to do our own thing. Maybe you've said it yourself. And I want to go and do my own thing. We had a gentleman in Cornwall once who said, Saturday's my day, I do whatever I want to do on that day. No matter what's going on anywhere else, that's the day I have for myself. I understood because he was a miner. He was down the mine or on a rescue team, or whatever it was, 5 days of the week. And so, and it was pretty unpleasant circumstances down the mine. But he wanted to have Saturday to himself. He was very regular on Sunday, but don't ask him to do anything on a Saturday, because he said, that's my day. But we have a tendency to want to do our own thing. I'm sure you understand that. And people will demand their rights to do their own thing, to get away from the rat race. How many times have you heard people say that? I want to get away from the rat race. Well, again, when I lived in Cornwall, there were people who moved down there to get away from the rat race. And when they became part of the community in St. Just, where we lived, they found themselves busier because of the community they were in. And they were, they just carried on being very busy. To be your own person. To do what I want to do. It's something we hear quite often. Let me say, I understand the idea. Sometimes getting away for a while is nice, isn't it? Go down to the seaside, paddle in the water, or go into in the autumn. Someone once said one of the nicest things to do is to go into a park somewhere and kick up the leaves. You've got to be careful what's under the leaves. But there was an idea that kicking up the leaves was a really nice thing to do, and I understand the idea that that getting away from it is, but we all need other people, don't we? Yeah. How would we get on by ourselves? I know that, again, when we were in Cornwall, there were those famous places where the saints went to be by themselves. And maybe you can think of priests and Father so-and-so who went off to be in a monastery somewhere so they can have quiet and peace. And sometimes there are those of us who are able to go away to a peaceful place like that for a while, but in the end, we desperately need other people. We need to, we all need someone and we need to belong. Everybody needs someone. That sounds like a song, doesn't it? But God designed us to belong, as we see in Genesis. God created woman for the man that he might not be alone. And we are invented or created, designed for community. Sorry if I make that sound as if God created woman, but he did. And if we take the Bible literally, then we need to hold on to the very fact that God brought forth woman so that man would have community. That's a very important thing. That doesn't mean that women are less important than men. It just says that that's how God saw it, and he thought that man would be okay, and then there was community needed. We are fashioned for fellowship. Have you ever had a go at making a pot on a wheel?
No. Yes. At school, yes.
At school. There's a lovely advert on the TV at the moment where a man is making this lovely pot, and a woman tells him that he wouldn't have had to pay extra if he sold his house through a different way. Yeah, purple bricks or something. And then he smashes his own pot and then smashes the woman's pot. My wife said at that time, that's an awful thing to do, isn't it, to smash up somebody else's? But it just shows sometimes we are fashioned in a beautiful way, and we are made to enjoy each other's company or for fellowship. And we are formed for family. These are lots of F's, aren't they? But we are formed for family, and I think that's a lovely thing for us to hold on to. Not everybody can have family. And some people who've got family don't want them anymore because they're too much trouble. But actually, we are formed for family, and that's a lovely thing. I found out, I don't know if I told you this last week, and my great-great-great-great-grandfather was called Nicodemus Norton. Nicodemus Norton. My son, I said this to him in the car the other day, and he texted me last night. He said, Dad, what was the name? Because Nicola wants to know. I think she wants to add that to Mark's name somewhere along the line. But God's purpose is fulfilled as we work together in community. So that's a wonderful thing for us to think about. His purpose is fulfilled when we work together in community. We may read of those who went away for a short time to be with God, but their work was with people, so they had to come back to where they were. Again, there have been times in different places in the country where we've lived that I would nip off for an hour or two to be by myself and then come back to be where people were. I would sit sometimes at Pendine Lighthouse. If anybody's been down that way, you can walk to the edge of the cliff and see the rollers coming in off the Atlantic there and see the fantastic power of the sea. And then you're reminded, well, God created this just for the beauty of it. And I'm able to enjoy that beauty. But then I have to go back to be with the people and share the news with them. Sometimes I would sit there with a great big pasty in my hand, of course, and enjoy the food there as well. But God fulfilled. God's purpose is fulfilled as we work together in community. We may read of those who went off, as I said, for a short time, but they need to come back. And as we see in verse 22 of our reading, which says, "And in him you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." So we have a personal relationship with God, a personal relationship with Christ. But it's something to be shared, and you can't do it easily by yourself. We are being built together. One of the nice things about embracing one another and greeting each other in the way we do at all sorts of places and churches is that it's an expression of the unity we have. And there is a sense in which we are binding ourselves together, and that's a lovely thing. But there was an advert on the TV some years ago, some of you may remember it, where a husband said in a broad either black country accent or Birmingham accent, "We want to be together." The reaction from his wife was not too favourable. And the question you would need to ask if it were a true situation, were their expectations the same? The man's expectation was that she would think exactly the same. Her facial expression said something very different. Clearly, in that advert, the answer was no. As followers of Christ, we do want to be together, because we are expected to be with other Christians, as it is described in Romans 12 and verse 5, where it says this: "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other." Sorry, I didn't bring that up quick enough, so I'll say it again. "So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other." In the context of the reading today, that means not adding your name to a list of members, all right? We can all be members of something, can't we? As long as we pay our money. No doubt some of you are members of certain committees and certain associations and certain different things, and as long as you keep paying your money, your name will appear on a list. My brother, bless him, he was an associate of the Institute of Builders. Then he became a licentiate. Maybe it was licentiate first, I'm not sure. And then he became something even more important. But he kept his name on the list of those who are qualified by paying so much money every year. My daughter has to pay so much money every 2 or 3 years, I think, so that she remains registered nurse. You would think, well, you know, once you're a nurse, you're a nurse. But she pays her money and she's on that list. So we're not talking about members as in adding our name to a list, but being a vital part of a single unit. The church is not an organisation, so we're being part of a vital part of a single unit. That's important that we know that each one of us is so important that we're vital to the work of God. How does that feel? That's better, isn't it? But also, we're not part of an organisation, but we're part of an organism. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
Being a Christian is different than being part of any organisation. The idea is clear that we cannot be effective if we cut ourselves off from the rest of the body of Christ. Just as if I cut my finger off, the bit that I cut off would wizen and die quite quickly, unless I stuck it in amongst some frozen peas and took myself off to the hospital. I might just get something back in the end. But it would shrivel up and die if I cut my finger off. And so if we cut ourselves off from Christian fellowship, we tend to shrivel up in our spiritual life, because being part of the community is part of what we're here for. So with those who cut themselves off from the body of Christ. How do you feel if you miss worship? Say on a Sunday or during the week. There are different ways in which we manage to have worship. How do you feel if you miss a week?
Yeah, missed out.
Yeah, I think it's important that we recognise that. One of the advantages of what we've got is that nowadays you can probably go online and listen to some other worship somewhere else, which is a great way of using the internet, but there are so many bad ways that the internet gets used that I think sometimes The bad is outweighing the good that's happening on the internet. But we miss out on worship, and we feel... I know we went on holiday to Crete, and I thought in my wisdom when we went on holiday for a fortnight that I would go along to a Greek service somewhere. It never happened. But I did miss worshipping with people, and I missed the idea of it. I know I miss it very much, and I'm unable to meet with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Things begin to slip if we don't have fellowship often. And Jesus wants us to be together. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18 it says, "And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." God's design is that we should be strong together. There's that lovely description, isn't it, where you bind up reeds. You can break a reed quite easily when there's just one, but if you bind them together, you can't break them so easily. And that's the description that God is talking for us, that we should be bound together so that we're strong for the kingdom's sake. And in 1 Peter 2, verse 17, it says this, "Show proper respect to everyone. Love the brotherhood of believers. Fear God. Honour the King." That means that we are to be strong through our fellowship. We need to be committed to each other. And accountable as well. Do you know, that accountability thing can make you feel really uncomfortable, can't it? Because accountability means that there has to be a two-way thing here. I have to be able to say to somebody, "I need your help. This is a problem for me at the moment. Can you help me?" And they have to be able to say yes or no to that before any information is given out, and then be committed, if they say yes, to helping you through the difficult time. Accountability is a difficult one, but it is part of what being part of a community is about. That cannot be achieved by running from church to church. Over the years, I've worshipped in different churches, and people have come for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and then we never see them again. And we find out they've gone to worship somewhere else, and then a few months later they're worshipping somewhere else. But by belonging to each other in the fellowship, that means that we're committing ourselves to each other. And we're saying, "I'm here for you." It gives us the opportunity to exercise our gifts, the gifts that God has given us. It seems right that we should do this in our own fellowship, not anywhere as we feel the need. Just our fellowship is important in that sense, our community. As Jesus said in John chapter 13 and verse 35, "All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." Okay? They'll know if you love one another. They will say about TLC, "Do you know how they love one another down there?" That's how it ought to be. St. Mary's, they ought to be able to say about the people in worship at St. Mary's, "See how they love one another." When we combine together in worship, "See how they love one another." It's a lovely thing to be thought that that will happen. And Jesus said, "All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another." When we come together from all the different backgrounds we have, and boy, have we got some strange backgrounds, I guess you say. With your DNA testing, you know, you find out you've got various combinations coming, and you think, how can that be? But it's really important that with all the backgrounds that we have, loving one another should be still one of the most powerful things and a great witness to the world. There's also, I'm almost sick to death of hearing about the word, the B word, B-R-E-X-I-T, Brexit, because it's causing tensions, and there's lots of misinformation going around, and there's lots of tensions building up, and that is very difficult, isn't it? But we as followers of Christ, even if we disagree on something like that, ought to be able to say, "I love you."
Yeah.
Even though you're a pain in the neck.
Second love.
Said with love, yeah. Once we start to love, then our desire will be to share that love with all of God's family, wherever it may be. I told you before, I went out to Russia with a chap to take some money out to some missionary work that was happening in Tatarstan area of Russia. Do you know, I have still a great love for the people I met there who prayed for us in tears. And it was real. It wasn't messing about, it was real. No doubt Jeff would say the same about when he went to India. He's probably got a special part in his place in his heart for those Christians he met out in India. Wherever we go and we meet people, it's great to meet those who love God. How good it is to help others who are Christians in need. And when we're doing that, we're helping the body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says this, verse 26. If one part of the body suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honoured, every part rejoices with it. Now, if we think about that as the body of Christ, we can rejoice with those who rejoice, but boy, do we hurt when we see our brothers and sisters going through the different treatments they face in places like North Korea and in China and certain parts of South America, certainly in certain parts of Europe even. We're finding that Christians are being hurt and suffering. It's bigger than that, Jim. No, that's a different one, isn't it? It's bigger than that. Look at John chapter 1 and verses 3. Chapter 3 and verses 16. This is how we know that what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Sue and I once wrote a song, didn't we, dear? And it was on that verse, greater love hath no man. It wasn't a very good song, but it was something that we just helped us through at that time. We also find it possible to exercise our gifts within the fellowship. Participation in the full life of the church builds our spiritual muscle. Do you know, the older I've got, the more I'm aware I haven't got the muscle that I used to have. And the longer I stop playing the guitar, the more I realise that my muscle memories for chords are disappearing, you know. I'm thinking of buying a ukulele one day. There's only four strings. but you know, I think actually we need to build up our spiritual muscles. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 16. From him, the whole body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So for us, in a sense, if one of us is less able than others, then the body ought to be working together to help. One of the great things about caring, as we've cared for Gloria and various other people over the last few weeks and months, is that we can exercise that gift of sharing our love with them. The responsibilities that come along with this kingdom living are great, in that we are to love, pray, encourage, serve, greet, teach, admonish, accept, forgive, honour, submit to each other. Would you like me to read those again?
Yes.
I'll do it. I'll go slower. Yeah. We are to love. You got that one?
Yeah.
Pray. Encourage. Serve. Greet. Teach. Admonish. Accept. Forgive. Honour, submit to each other, and be devoted to one another. You got those?
Yes.
Good. These are clearly family responsibilities that take us beyond mere membership, because we grow faster together. When I was a young Christian, I became a Christian when I was 16. That's when I actually made the conscious decision. I know that God spoke to me before that. I remember being about 8 or 9 or 10, and I came away from a service and said to my parents, I really felt that God was talking to me. And they said, well, leave it for the time being and see how you get on. Well, another 8 years went by and I became a Christian at the age of 16. And I remember meeting with my Christian friends of that day, and that's when I grew with them. We bounced off each other. I went to Bible college and we bounced a bit more, because the discussions that held at Bible college were often hot and disagreeable at times, but we learnt so much from each other. Each of us is needed. Each of us share a common mission. Though we may have different gifts, our aim is the same. So, do you know what your gifts are? There was a leaflet brought out by CWR some years ago, and you could fill out or answer all the questions on this sheet, and at the end of it, according to the numbers that were at the end of a particular column, you added them all up and it told you what your gifting was. I was amazed. I just thought this was fantastic, and I'm not sure it worked out very well. But, do you know, I think actually it's important that we know where our gifts are. Maybe you are a singer. Maybe you are a teacher. Maybe you are a listener. Maybe you are a prayer. But in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, and I've got that up on the screen there, it says this, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Hey, you think, that was good. Didn't I do well today? When you look back over the day, or maybe you don't, maybe there are other days when you feel, I wish I hadn't got up. But there is a sense in which after something you think, that was good. But then, you know, we need to be reminded that God set up those situations for us to be used in. Very important for us to realise that God's been there before us. The church family will help us not to backslide. They'll keep an eye on us. Do you think you should be doing that? Do you think you should have said that? And sometimes they may even look at us, I know what you're thinking. Do you think you should be thinking that? So I think actually we keep an eye on each other in that sort of way. None of us is immune to temptation. We need to keep on the straight and narrow. In James chapter 5 and verses 19 and 20, it says this, "My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth, someone should bring them back. Remember this, whoever turns a sinner away from his error will save him from death and cover a multitude of sins." That's wonderful. It's a wonderful thing. In this, it is a place of prayer here, but it's also a place where we learn leadership. And we are accountable, in the end, to God. We'll have to face him one day. It's really a very somber thought in some ways. Sobering thought. But if we keep close, then we are safe with him. We must be ready to give of ourselves. We must not get disconnected. Must not get disconnected. I know that when sometimes in your house it may happen and it says that you have no connection. Do you get that? The internet thing comes up. No connection. Sorry. And then you look at it and think, what's it talking about? I've still got pictures here and things are still happening. But genuinely, sometimes it will go down. Worshipping together helps us focus on God and stops that disconnection. We are able to face life's problems in a different way than other people. And because we're together, we strengthen each other's faith. Don't you find that? Do you know, I love to hear people testify as to what God's done. And it does lift my spirit when people say what God has done in their lives, and that makes my faith, lifts my spirit and strengthens my faith. We are able to find and discover our gifts. How many people have you heard over the years saying, who's become a famous singer, and they say, I started in the church choir. Over and over and over again you hear that. It might be totally forgotten for a while, but they have to, in the end, admit that that's where they were blessed, and so many people are. And we need to fulfill our mission. It's important to be committed to a fellowship that we may take responsibility and enjoy the benefits. People will be blessed by you. In turn, you will be blessed by them. Who blessed you this week? Don't need to say the names, just think about it. Who's blessed you this week? More difficult, who's been blessed by you? An interesting question. There may be times when we are frustrated by some, but that's true in any family, isn't it? We watched a film last night, because we could, and it was called The Son of the Mask. I don't know if any of you saw the film The Mask in the first place, this green thing. Yeah. And this was The Son of the Mask. And it made us laugh quite a bit. But actually it was a story of love in the end. Of eventually for a father for a son who was constantly crying, a baby son who was constantly crying, and a son who was thought he was better than his dad in a sense. And in the end they expressed their love towards each other, and it was lovely. And I think that's a beautiful thing when people are devoted to each other. They become maybe frustrated by people in the family, but love them all the same. The most obvious example of true church in the New Testament is found in Acts 2, where, you know, it says this, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Sorry, there it is. That's what the verse I was just reading, so that you can write it down. We are called to belong, not just to believe. We're called to belong, not just to believe. So I ask the questions, am I a spectator or am I a committed member? Am I a consumer or am I a contributor? Okay. Do I want the benefits without the responsibilities? Okay, just these last words to finish with. In Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. You're mine, I'm yours. We belong. We want to be together. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, thank you for directing our thoughts today. Thank you for encouraging us. Lord, uplift us with your love. As we share around these tables, may the conversation be a blessing and an encouragement to us. In Jesus' name, amen.